Would open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in verse 1. We'll read through the verse 11. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll end our reading there. All right, let's stand together as Sean leads us in singing our call to worship.
Ascribe to God, ye sons of men, ascribe with one accord all praise and honor, might and strength to him the living Lord. Give glory to his holy name and honor him alone. Give worship to his majesty and bow before his throne. The Lord doth sit upon the floods, their fury to restrain. He reigns above both Lord and King, and evermore shall reign. The Lord shall give his people strength, and bid their sorrows cease. The Lord shall bless his chosen race with everlasting peace.
Okay, if you would, please turn to song number 175, Standing on the Promises.
On the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises sing. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Stand. on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword,
standing on the promises of God.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all.
Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Let's open our Bibles together now to Isaiah chapter 62. Brother Darvin has asked that we read Isaiah chapter 62. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth the virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't that good news? Let's bow together. Our Father, oh, how we thank you that in your goodness and mercy to your people, you've allowed us one more opportunity to meet together, to worship your matchless name, to hear your gospel preached, to sing your praises. Father, I pray this morning that you would make this a special morning of worship, that you would in this place this morning through the preaching of your gospel, show us your glory. Oh, would you show us your glory? Enable us to see the glory of Christ our Savior, to see the glory of His redemptive work for sinners, and that you would enable us to believe Him, to rest in Him. Father, I pray that you'd be with Brother Darvin as he comes to preach the message that you've laid upon his heart. Father, uphold him with thy Spirit. Give him recall of the things that he's studied and give him freedom of thought and speech that he might clearly, boldly, and simply proclaim to us one more time Christ and Him crucified. Father, how thankful we are. How thankful we are for a Savior who saves. How thankful we are that you've given us the gift of a place where Christ is preached. You've given your people the gift of faith to believe Him and rejoice in Him. Father, how we thank you. And pray that you continue to bless. Father, continue to bless your people. Don't leave us alone, we pray. And Father, while you've blessed us so abundantly, so richly, you have also taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Be with those who are in times of trouble and trial. Father, we pray for it. We pray you'd meet the need of your people, that you'd comfort those who are sorrowing, you'd heal those that are sick, you'd give direction to those that have lost the way. Show us the way to go. Now, Father, all these things we ask for your glory, for your sake. We ask in the name of Christ our Savior. It's His precious name we pray.
There will never be a sweeter story, story of the Savior's love divine, love that brought Him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful? To the farthest soul away, saving, keeping, love, it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me.
Yesterday we held the memorial service for our sister, Evelyn Yates. Her brother, Darvin Pruitt, is in town. He came for the funeral and he's the pastor of Grace Baptist Church of Louisville, Arkansas. And I hesitated to ask him to preach. It's a difficult weekend, but he very graciously said he would. And I have to tell you how much I have looked forward to it. I told Darwin when I finished the Bible lesson this morning, I felt like I just went on vacation. I've been so looking forward to hearing him preach. Darwin's a dear brother, faithful preacher, simple, plain preaching that focuses on Christ and Christ alone. I'm just so delighted he's here. Darwin, I pray, Lord, bless you and bring the message that the Lord's given you. We're delighted Darwin's brought his daughter Melissa with him as a traveling partner. And, well, we won't worry about saying goodbye yet. Pray, Lord, bless you as you travel. But Lord, you come preach to us, Darwin.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. I invite you to turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 62. While you're turning, I want to say how thankful I am to be here. Not just in Ashland. I'm happy to be in this particular place, but I'm happy to be here. There was a time when I wasn't. There was a time when I was no different than anybody else in this world. My mind focused on all the things that worldly men focus on. Focused on my job, on my family, on recreation, on this and that, and retirement, and who knows what else. But God was pleased to intervene. He arrested this sinner, and he said, enough is enough. Stop. The Lord did intervene. He did cross my path with a preacher, and he did extend his grace and his mercy. Wouldn't it be something if he did that again? Oh. I've seen it. I've seen it. It's as real as anything you've ever experienced. His mercy and his grace. I want to thank you, Pastor, for having me here. And before we get into this, I want to say a little bit about my text. Isaiah 62 is a continuation of a prophecy concerning the glory of his church in the latter days. 720 years before Christ appeared, the prophet Isaiah prophesied, and now we're 2,000 years beyond that. And he prophesied of this very day and exactly what you're doing here this morning. That's what this text is all about. Don't think this is some ancient writing that has no meaning and no application to me today. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 1, he said those prophets understood. God made them to know that the things that they were saying were not for them, but it was for us. For us. He was talking about the suffering of the coming Redeemer. He was talking about the glory of the coming Redeemer. But it goes even further past that. Now he's talking about all of those years after the Lord came, after he redeemed, after he accomplished our redemption and ascended back into glory. And they talked about it, and he said, I'll tell you how you know that. I'll tell you exactly how you're going to know what Isaiah said what Hosea said, what all of these prophets said. He said, God's going to send you a preacher, and he's going to be accompanied by the Holy Ghost. And he's going to preach these things to you. And bless your heart, you're going to understand them. That's the wonderful thing. You're going to understand them. You're going to look at that old passage and you're going to say, he's right. That's what that means. That's what that means. Oh, what a glorious time this was going to be. He talks about this, and he said, he inspired his prophet to speak of the Lord's affection for his people. Did you catch that? As a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God. Can you imagine such a thing? God rejoicing over me. Huh? I feel condemned because I don't rejoice like I ought to. And I can't even imagine it. It's beyond me to think about my God rejoicing over me. And not just a little, but like a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Oh, my soul. He tells us that this is going to be such a glorious thing that he said, I have ordained and set watchmen on your walls. John Gill called them remembrancers. They're going to keep telling you, remember now, remember what he said. Don't forget what he said. They're going to keep telling you. And he said, don't you be quiet. You just keep telling. You keep telling. I was laughing a while ago when he said, looked at me and talked about some of them looks you get. That didn't shut me up, did it you? Uh-uh. No, he said, you just keep right on preaching. You keep right on talking. You keep right on telling these people what I'm... Oh, you remind his people of the glorious days ahead when the Lord himself shall come and do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Now, how long did Israel struggle? We're going to do this. No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And he said, they're not going to hold their peace day or night. They'll never be silenced. And of these glorious days of accomplished redemption, the Lord has sworn by his right hand. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He swore by his right hand, the hand of his strength and power, that it's going to come to pass exactly as this prophet foretold. After his funeral yesterday, I was listening to several people talk about heaven and salvation and hope after death. Sickening, really. What they were saying was as contrary to the Word of God as it can possibly be. But this is the condition of every sinner. That was my condition when the Lord found. These things seem right to me. How many times did the prophet write in Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man? Seem right to me? Do the best you can. Offer what you can, do what you can, pray as much as you can, give as much as you can. Seem right to me. This is the condition of every son of Adam. And when our Lord came into this world and began to preach to men and women, it talks about the people he preached to. And here's what he said. He reminded them of what the prophet said. And here's what the prophet said, those people which sat in darkness saw great light. Great light. Those people that sat in the shadow of death, in the region and shadow of death, they saw light spring up. Wouldn't you like to have heard the Lord preach? Oh, my soul. Just sit and never a man's thinking. Sit and listen to him preach. When he preached to men, when I preached to men, I try to tell them that man is in a bad way. He's in a bad way. His walk, Paul wrote, is according to the course of this world, this fallen world, this cursed world. His way is according to that. It's the broad way that leads to destruction. It's the way that seemeth right unto a man. When Cain brought the works of his hands to offer unto God, he brought what seemed right to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been angry when the Lord wouldn't accept it. But it wasn't all right. It wasn't what he was told to bring. It wasn't what God commanded to be brought. He found himself shut out because of it. Our Lord said, if the light that be in thee. What's that? That's these little pieces and fragments of truth that you gather your whole life. From the time you're this big and grandma's telling you about the Lord, and then somebody else tells you about it, and then you get a little older and you get some friends and they go to a different church and you get some fragments from them and some pieces and parts, and after a while you form a theology in your mind, an image in your mind, and this image, you think, is light. And that's what the Lord's talking about in that verse. He said, if the light that be in thee be darkness, if every idea and conception that you have of God and of Christ and of salvation is nothing but ignorance and blindness and darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is it? Man's in a bad way. His walk is according to the course of this world. His walk, Paul continues to write, is according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, most people write everything in the world off to Satan. Bars and brothels and drug houses and all this, they write that all off to Satan. That's Satan. That ain't Satan. That comes from you. That's where that work comes from. It comes from you. It comes from the natural fallen depravity of this flesh. That's what that... Satan's realm is in religion. It's in religion. That's where he was. He's not out in the bars. He don't need to go out there. They're already got it. He's in the church. His realm is religion. He appears, the scripture said, as an angel of light, and his ministers he transforms into ministers of righteousness. Not God's righteousness, not the righteousness imputed to us by Christ, but self-righteousness. They appear as harmless and kind and concerned with your welfare, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're vipers. The bite is fatal. One of my cousins came to me yesterday and she said, before our brother got up to preach, she said, I'm going to leave now. She said, I just don't like this part. And I was thinking to myself, I bet you don't. I bet you don't like this part. But this is the part we hope in, isn't it? And that's what he talked about. He talked about that rest. These things were all revealed to the prophet. To the best of my ability and with his spirit, I hope this passage is going to come to pass, even in preaching to you this morning. There's three things I want us to see in verses 11 and 12, mostly in verse 11, and then 12 is kind of a summation. It's kind of a summation of the chapter. But I want us to see, first of all, who's doing the talking. Who's doing the talking? That first thing came to me when I read there first. Wow. Who's doing the talking? And then secondly, I want us to see who he's talking to. He tells us that in these verses. And then thirdly, what's he saying? What's he saying? So let's see who's doing the talking here. Isaiah 62, verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath spoken. The Lord hath proclaimed. And his proclamation here, he said, is unto the end of the world. This is not a proclamation for that hour, or for the next hour, or for the next week, or for 2,000 years from then. It's unto the end of the world. What I've got to say, the Lord said, is going to keep being said and said and said until there is no more world. It's unto the end of the world, and the Lord is speaking. These are not the fickle words of a confused man or the senseless babbling of an ignorant man. That's what they thought about Paul. Let's see what this babbler has to say. And they're not the desperate words of a frightened man. These are the words of the Lord. The Lord. That's what. Boy, that makes a difference, don't it? I want to hear what the Lord says. I tell you, if he ever convinces you of sin, you want to hear what the Lord says. What's the Lord say? I've heard enough about what man says. That's why I'm in the mess I'm in. I want to hear what the Lord says. In matters of importance, we look to those whose words can be trusted. Our Lord can be trusted. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but way back yonder in the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Now wait a minute. Didn't he know that Satan and all his cronies, when he kicked them out of heaven, walked to and fro in the earth? Did he not know that? Did he not know that in a short time, they would deceive Eve, and through Eve, Adam would plunge the entire race into chaos? Did he not know that? Did he not know that in 7 or 8 generations, that every imagination of man would be only evil continually? Did he not know that? Did he not know that even after the flood, just a small amount of time, Babylon was going to rise up and false religion was going to come to a head? It was going to, that whole thing, Babylon, all the way through to the end of the Bible, represents false religion. Babylon. Did he not know that those men were going to get together, try to make a way on their own into heaven itself? Didn't he know that? Did he not know how many times Israel would plunge back into sin and idolatry? Leave him and leave his promises and leave his word, leave his prophets. Did he not know when his own son would come into this world that those men who looked for him would reject him? They would be the main ones who caused him to go to the cross. Did God not know that? Then how in the world could he rest? How could he rest? Because he trusted all things into the hands of his Son. Isn't that what the Scripture says? It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard Him. He can be trusted. His words can be trusted. God Himself trusted everything that He purposed to do. He said, "Here it is. Here it is. I'm going to rest. On the rest." Did you know our Lord's name is the Word? In the beginning, John said, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word, he goes on to tell us, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And looking to him, he said, we saw the glory of God the Father in him. And he's the Word. He's the Word. The Lord hath proclaimed. Who's Lord? Huh? That's your Lord. That ain't my Lord. Oh, yeah. He's everybody's Lord. He's your Lord. He's my Lord. He's the Lord of the dead and the living. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the blessed and only potentate. There is no power higher than him. In him, you're complete, Paul said, who's the head of all principality and power. The Lord said. Nothing else needs to be said if the Lord says. See, the thing of it is they didn't believe these prophets spoke for God. Just like men don't believe that preachers speak for God. They don't believe that. It's always been God's way. Always, from the very beginning, he speaks through men. Words said or written, or they're only as good as the wisdom and power behind them. I talked to somebody yesterday, and after a few minutes, they said, who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you think you're a spokesman for God? Why should I take your word over 1,000 others? And then he asked me this, how can somebody like myself know who God's spokesman is and who's not? And here's my answer. You never will, but by the grace of God. John said, he that knoweth God, heareth us. Huh? Why in the world would I believe Henry Mahan when everybody else in this world is telling me something different? Why in the world would I listen to him? Because I was his God. That's right. And he was his God. And I heard him. I heard him. And that's how you hear, if you ever hear. That's how it works. That's how it works. Oh, no, we got to have this system of theology, and you have to be a theologian to believe. No, no, no. That's not happening. But there's no need here for speculation. This is the Lord's speaking. This is the Lord speaking. The Lord of creation, the Lord of glory. The Lord of providence. You're here this morning by the providence of God. I'm here this morning by the providence of God. You think about that. And all the workings all over the world. And he has places and churches and people and his elect and all of this is going on. I mean, it's amazing that you can't even see the end of it. Brother Fortner used to say, it's like looking at Big Ben on the inside. You see all these gears and some going this way and some going this way. It all works together. And he's the governor. He's the arranger. He's the one who brings it to pass. And he's working his providence. And in his providence, he brought you here today. And he brought me. It's the Lord who's doing the talking. His word is going to stand to the end of the world. All right, secondly, here's the next question. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? Isaiah 62:11, the second sentence of the verse. Say ye to the daughter of Zion. Who's that? That's God's people. That's his elect. We're scared death to say that word. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't care if you offend it or not. His elect. He's the one who said, I didn't make it up. He said it. Well, you want to go over here and find that old isolated? Isolated? It's 27 times in the New Testament. And that's not even to mention the chosen or my people. My soul, we act like we need to be, those ones need to be ashamed. He's talking to God's people, his elect, his bride, his church. How many other names does he have for? Now, I'm told in the Great Commission to teach all nations and preach to every creature. And so I do. And I do it because I don't know who his elect are. That's what somebody told Henry. Why don't you just preach to God's elect? He said, if somebody put a mark on them, I will. But till then, I'm preaching to everybody and let God sort it out. That's right. I don't know who his people are. I know this. I have no right to apply what I'm saying to all men. And that's why when you go out here in religion, they won't. There's no direct voice from God to you. There's no communication from God to his people. It's a plan. And so we'll lay the plan out and you just make up your mind what you want to do. Well, salvation is not a plan. It's not a system of theology and it's not an offer. It's a proclamation. Ain't that what this says? The Lord hath proclaimed. He declared something. He said, this is what's going to happen. His love is for his people. His death is for his people's sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His righteous obedience is a representative obedience for his elect. Listen to what Paul says. I think we read, I know I did. I'll read old things, all of a sudden I'll see it. And I'll stop and I'll look at it and it's just a, goes on forever. It's infinite. It's just so deep and so wonderful. Paul said, of God are ye in Christ Jesus. How'd you get there? Well, I made my decision. They ain't how you got there. Ain't what Paul said. He said, of God are ye in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Him. All in Him. Well, how do you get in Him? God put you in Him. I can't do it. He can. And people who despise election are people who don't know their standing before God outside of Christ. They think they have rights. They think they have this. They think they have that. The only reason this world was permitted to continue after Adam's fall was because of God's elect. The only reason this world shall be shortened, he said, is for the elect's sake. The only reason he holds it in consistency. What's that mean? By him all things consist. Well, there's a thousand definitions of that. But the one I love the best is this. It has a continuous. Everything's going to continue. Oh, polar cap's going to melt down. We're all going to flood. No, we ain't. They're not going to flood this earth again. You already said that. Put a rainbow in the sky to remind us. He's not going to do that. God has a people. He chose in Christ. And he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How many going to repent? Every one. How many going to believe? Every one. Every one. In the salvation of chosen sinners, God manifests his glory. Show us your glory. That's what you said. Huh? That's it. He manifests his glory in his sinners. For it was justice, it was righteousness, it was holiness. You know, we like to take that word holiness and we like to apply it to good works and paying your bills and being honest, and we apply that word holy. But that's righteousness, that's not holiness. Holiness has to do with the wholeness of God. That's holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God running around trying to pay bills and No. It has to do with His character working continually, eternally, meshed together, righteous, holy, just, merciful, gracious. All of these things are working in harmony within God. That's His holiness. That's your holiness. That's your holiness. That's why you can't have a hope that's contrary to the character of God. He chose you in Christ. That what's the first thing? That you might be holy. He didn't say, I'm going to make you holy. No, He said, I chose you in Christ that you can be holy. Everything that Christ has done for me, His death, His righteousness, everything, His intercession and glory, everything there working in perfect harmony with the character of God. Perfect harmony. He's going to show us the glory of God. Glory of His justice, His righteousness, holiness, His mercy, and His grace. And the whole reason for our being is God's purpose of grace, what He's purposed to do. Listen to this in Romans 8:19. This was such a blessing to me when I finally understood what it was talking about. He said, the earnest expectation of creation. What do you expect out of creation? What does God expect out of creation? You see these planets, you see these stars, you see the universe, you hear men talking about this and that and the next thing and a big green deal or whatever it is they're trying to sell now. Here's the earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's what it's all about. And I preach to whosoever will this morning, but only His people shall be willing, and that in the day of His power. Whosoever will don't bother me. And I preach to all who hear me. But I'm to make clear, as I'm speaking to all men, I'm to make clear who God's talking to. He's talking to the daughter of Zion. He's talking to the Lord. He talks about Him dying for our sins. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the God of God. When He talks about ascending into glory and there making intercession for us, He's not talking about the world. He's talking about the daughter of Zion. He's talking about His elect. He's talking about believers. Believers. Somebody said, you believe in believers' baptism? There ain't no other kind. It's a confession of faith, ain't it? That's what I thought. Say ye to the daughter of Zion. And then here's the third question I want you to see. When I find her, what am I saying? What am I saying? I know she's in a bad way. What am I going to say? Look at this third sentence in the verse. Say to her, thy salvation cometh. Huh? Thy salvation cometh. Now, there's three things I want you to think about here. First of all, as the prophecy stands, I want you to think about thy salvation cometh. This is talking about the coming Redeemer. Every old writer I read applied that way. They didn't go beyond it. They said, this has to do with the coming Redeemer. I'm in perfect harmony with them. I That's exactly what he's talking about. Our Lord's coming. Thy salvation's coming. He's coming. It's going to be a while. It's going to be another 760 years, but he's coming. He's coming, and you keep telling folks that. He's coming. He's coming. Speak of the Lord coming to make things right, to fulfill all of his promises. Everything rests on him. If he don't come, nothing's going to happen. Everything was riding on his coming, his appearance. If he don't come, we have no hope. Everything rests on his coming. So you say unto the daughter of Zion, thy salvation, come. And oh, what sweet words those are to a doomed sinner. And true to his word, he did come. He did accomplish redemption, and he did enter into glory and obtain eternal redemption for us by his own blood. But there's a problem. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He's not going to receive these things. But what can I say to those who sit in darkness? What can I say that I know comes from God? It won't be Darwin talking, it'll be God. God saying this. What can I say to those who sit in darkness? I can say what the Lord has proclaimed and shall proclaim unto the end. Your salvation comes. Your salvation comes. Paul said in Ephesians 2:6 that when Christ rose from the dead, he raised us up with him and made us to sit together with him in heavenly places. But it don't stop there. There's a great big, and I capitalize every word of it, that. In order that. In the ages to come. That's what we're talking about, eh? He might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Why did God speak to man? Because he purposed to do it. That's why. Because he would. Just because he would. And I can say to God's elect, or of his elect, if you will, thy salvation cometh. That's not a... There's not a shadow of a doubt in that, is there? Listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things, after the counsel of his own will. Paul said, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. He ordained a means through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth. But he didn't stop there, did he? Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Our gospel. Thy salvation cometh. May be that I'm here today to secure your hope in these things through the gospel. Could be. I hope it is. I hope it is. And then thirdly, what can I say to you that have believed? You that have been on this way for a while. What can I say to you? Well, remember what I told you at the beginning? He said this thing is going clear to the end of the world. What can I say to you? Your salvation comes. My salvation comes. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again. And I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am there, that's where you're going to be. Where I am. That's where you're going to be. My salvation comes. And oh, what a glorious salvation it is. Look down at verse 12. These people that God intends to save and shall save and has saved. He said they're going to be called the holy people. And nothing contrary to God in them. They're going to be called the redeemed of the Lord. Can you imagine when Ruth stood there and her husband got up and said, "Now anybody here thinks they can redeem? Go ahead." Can you imagine how she felt when he did? Huh? She's going to be called the redeemed of the Lord. Redeemed. Sought out. That don't mean he's looking for you. That means he found you. Sought out. He's not going to let one go. Sought out. He's going to find you wherever you are. He's going to find you. He's going to have you. That lost lamb, he's going to pick him up in his arms and carry him all the way back to the Father. He's not going to lose one lamb. Not one. Oh, what a glorious salvation. The redeemed of the Lord. Sought out. A city. Not forsaken. Boy, can you imagine? I've read some of the prophets, especially Jeremiah. And he's talking about walking through the streets of Jerusalem. It's a total ruin. The temple is down. Everything's gone. The walls are torn down. Everything that he rejoiced in is gone. Gone. But it wasn't forsaken. Because Jerusalem wasn't that city. And the temple wasn't that temple. All in Christ. All in Christ. My wife always wanted to go to Niagara Falls. I had about as much interest in Niagara Falls as... But I took her. My daughter was, and her husband was stationed up there in New York, and we went right through Buffalo, and I said, "All right, we're going to Niagara Falls." So I went over there. We saw all the things there was to see and went on the tours, and we bought a... You have to buy a coffee table book when you go visit places. You bring home, and people say, "Well, you've been to Niagara Falls?" "Yeah, I've been to Niagara Falls." So we bought it. And I brought it home, set it on the table. I never looked at it. A year after my wife died, I was dusting the house. I understand I need to dust it more than once a year, but I didn't. Somebody said, "How you getting along since your wife died?" I said, "I'm learning." They said, "You're learning?" I said, "Yeah, I'm learning. If I don't cook it, I don't eat it. If I don't wash it, I don't wear it. If I don't clean it, it's going to be dirty." And I was dusting around. I dusted that old book off, and I decided to look. And I turned in there, and it was talking about the daredevils back in the day. And they stretched the line. I can't imagine if back before they had any idea of how to make some kind of composition, it was just old rope. And they stretched that thing across Niagara Falls, and those daredevils would walk across it. Well, there was one, and his name, he called himself the Great Blandon. And he could just do anything on that wire. He was fearless. He put peach baskets on his feet and walked across that Niagara Falls on rope. He got out there, and then this went on for years, and finally he went out there, out in the middle, and the mate of the mist, he'd come around, and he had a line with him, and he lowered it down, and they put a bottle of wine and a glass on that line, and he pulled it up, poured him a glass of wine, drank it, lowered it back down to the boat. And then he sat down on the wire out in the middle of nowhere. He sat down, and he got up. And he walked over to the other side, and his promoter, his name was Harry. And he said, "Well, Harry," he said, "what do you think?" He said, "Do you believe me now that I can do anything on a tightrope?" Harry said, "You convince me. I've never seen anything like it. I've never even heard of anything like it." He said, "Get on." "Huh? Get on." And here he did. He walked back across Niagara Falls and set him down on that thing. You believe what I'm preaching, do you? Get on. Get on. Rest in him. Don't wait another second. rest in him. Rest in him. He can do everything that he says he can do. And he did everything that he said he'd come to do. Trust in him.
I told you I felt like I was on vacation when I finished my lesson this morning. The one thing I do real well on vacation is rest. I don't do nothing. I rest with my family and eat. We ate well this morning. That's food for my soul. We ate well. I hope none of us forget to ask anything. Come to Christ. Come to God, help us. Let's bow together. Our Father, oh, how we thank you for your infinite wisdom, purpose, your grace to your people in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's finished. It's complete. Father, we pray that you give us the faith to believe and rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's for the Peter said to whom coming, whether it's the first time or the thousandth time, Father, let us rest. Let us come to Christ and rest. Father, we ask this for the glory of Christ our Savior. We thank you for bringing Brother Darvin our way. And Father, I pray that you bless him. Bless E. Melissa as they travel. And when he gets back home, Father, use him to bless your people there in Arkansas. Bless in a special way. All these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name, which is above every name. In the name of Christ our Savior. All right, Sean, you can lead us in a song.
If you would, please turn to song number 460. And stand as we sing.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning